have ignition sequence start. The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversation with church leaders about social media, web trends, and everything and anything else our hosts want to talk about. Nils Smith is the innovation pastor at Community Bible Church in San Antonio, Texas, loves the Spurs, and walking the streets of New York with his family. Jay Cranda is the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, loves the Lakers, anything golf, and once could do a heel flip. To engage with the show, use the hashtag SMCPodcast. Let's join the show.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Nils Smith, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, the online campus pastor at Saddleback Church. We're talking about that. That's why I mentioned your title, Jay.
Hi.
Jay, welcome to the podcast. Jay Cranda.
Thanks, Nils. And for everybody who's watching on our Apple TV app, make sure you download it, Social Media Church. Nils Smith is wearing a hat, and I'm just...
I felt you weren't wearing a hat, so I felt like I needed to be the guy wearing a hat today. And so it's St. Patrick's Day is when we're recording. So I got my green shirt on and my Brooklyn Industries hat.
We are recording on St. Patrick's Day. I'm going to go into the office and people are going to start pinching me. This morning I went to go grab my hat. I had like an early meeting and I couldn't find it. So I like quickly tried to do my hair. Hats are always the go-to to avoid that I'm messy. Yeah,
you're a hat guy. Because I no longer have hair, I don't have to wear hats as much. I mean, it's normally like if I was having a rough morning, a slow morning, I just throw a hat on. Where now I could just wake up and nobody even knows that I just woke up. So that's the new agenda, the routine. We're talking though, Jay, today about our unique roles at our churches.
Yeah.
And I said you're the online campus pastor. I don't know if that's your official title. What is your title and what do you do at Saddleback?
Yeah, no, that is my official title, online campus pastor. I would say that I'm more of the online pastor than campus pastor. Okay. Actually, you know,
what does that mean? Speak to the difference of those two from a language standpoint.
Yeah. So, I think anybody who's doing, and I was talking this morning and I've talked this week up to a couple people about this idea is that, you know, I still think online campus, campuses and or extensions of churches, however you want to say it, they have a hard time positioning that ministry. It's either an outreach or a full-fledged campus.
Yeah.
I found that the campus language, especially when you pair it with online, it's a little limiting in my context because organizationally, we don't treat the online campus as a full-fledged campus, meaning we have 16 campuses and I don't report to the same person. I'm not under that person. I'm on a separate team.
Yeah.
And the more we process this, you know, personally, is that I like that because I actually would like to be less of as a campus. And the reason is because if you call me a campus, I'm going to fall into the routine and the structure, organization, all the things that a campus has. Yeah. I'm going to have to go through that process.
Yep. Yep.
And that oversight and that training. And I'm not that organizationally. At the end of the day, I deal with people locally and globally and everything in between. And if you try to cookie cut shape like my role and call me a campus, I think it limits the potential.
So limit your innovation opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I was talking to somebody. Actually, I had a brief conversation with a ministry leader that I'm not, it's going to sound like I'm name dropping. I'm not going to name drop right now. Anyways, I can't. We were having this conversation this past week actually, and they had recommended this book, Orbiting the Giant Hairball, which was such an interesting book. Have you read that book?
No, I haven't heard of it.
Anyways, the idea of it the hairball is the organization. And if you get too close into the organization, you can get tangled up in the hair, you get lost. So every organization has politics, its structure. If you get sucked into that, it can get, you can just, the life can get sucked out of you and you become a company man or woman, you know, kind of idea. And maybe you're not innovating. You can get too far away from the hairball in such a way where you're off in the distance, you know, maybe in New York somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you can get so far away. The idea is that you do stuff and you just leave eventually.
Right.
the ideal place is that you're orbiting the giant hairball. And this, I bought the book. I haven't read it, but the individual was, she was giving me the pitch of it. She's saying the idea is that you orbit the giant hairball. Okay. And that gives you enough flexibility and creativity to innovate and still be part of the organization, but also thrive. And I was thinking about this with my online ministry, is that really I want to be less as a campus and more as an online pastor. Because what the online pastor means, I remove that campus language and I can innovate more, and I don't have to get sucked up in, you know, I have a lot of awkward moments where, like, at staff meetings where all the campuses share something and everyone's like, "Hey Jay, are you going to share something? Because you're a campus." And I'm like, "Well, I'm not like that." And then the idea is, then if I'm just the online pastor, is at the end of the day, what I think, and we've talked about this numerous times, Niels, is, and I'm curious what Community Bible Church is doing on this, is at the end of the day, I really think I should just be Saddleback Online. Is that all online media, I'm the next step. Mm-hmm. I take care of all the follow-up. So the idea is that on demand, the online campus, podcasts, all this, YouTube videos, social media, is that I'm just Saddleback Online. And I get people connected both to any of our local campuses in California or our international campuses, or I help them get connected to a local church or part of the online community. Yeah. And I think that fits more into organizationally how Saddleback does that. And so Saddleback Online and the online pastor makes more sense in our context. Every church is very different, but that's what we're doing. I know. What are you guys doing with that? Like, how does that vibe with how you guys position the online community?
Yeah. So it's changed quite a bit over the last, you know, 6 years since we launched online church. It probably is the latter of what you said of it. And so my role as innovation pastor is basically everything online, from our website to social media to online church and our mobile app. And so within, under me are essentially two separate departments, our web team and our online church team. So our online church team is functioning as a campus team within our church. And then the web team is with website, social media, that type of thing. I would say we've tried to be intentional to not let our internal organization drive our external communication. So how we're internally structured shouldn't really define the way we do ministry, yet it just naturally happens. We have started to head down the path of it functioning as a campus. And so Chris Trapudi is our online church director. Martha Fisher is our online discipleship pastor. And so they are functioning in that we have worship services, we have small groups, we have membership. In the past, we've kind of functioned in this kind of like gray zone of like, let's just see what happens. And we weren't a multi-site church. Now we've gone multi-site, so we tried to create this infrastructure that fits within that. It has honestly created a significant amount of confusion, and I would say, we have a new lead pastor, and so he's still trying to wrap his mind around online church and how that fits into our context and where we go with it. And so we're always wrestling with, do we see this as a church? You know, do we see this functioning as an independent campus of our church, or do we see this as an extension of our church? So that language is very important in how we understand it. And at the end of the day, I fall under the leadership of our lead pastor. So he has to have a vision for it, and I have to execute. Mm. He allows me freedom to have vision within that, but there's got to be an infrastructure. And so I do think for a lot of churches and with the multi-site movement in, you know, North America, that it provides a great infrastructure of how to functionally run an online church. Now, you and I are entrepreneurial innovators. It's just the way we process and think. And so using that infrastructure can too often create confusion or limitations. And probably not confusion. Confusion often comes without the limitations. And so I create confusion, you know, and I thrive in confusion, I feel like. But so anyways, it gets very complicated. We are not clear, you know, I would say with where we are going. We have moved towards the campus model, but I would say that's we have not landed there firmly. We're communicating it externally as a campus, calling it our online church campus, but I wouldn't say we're locked into that. Now here's where really rubber meets the road, and this is where I brought this up with you, is our heart is that people are connected in physical community. Church community. And so we have felt that there are many people that connect only online, whether they're in a persecuted country or a place where they can't get into physical community, maybe they're handicapped or it's very hard to get a physical community. We know that that online interactions are just natural. Some people just are socially uncomfortable in face-to-face community, and so online works. But we are communicating that that is the exception. We are not trying to get you to avoid face-to-face faith community. We you know, spiritual Christian, you know, community. We want you to connect face-to-face with others. And so whether that's finding a local church or creating a local church, you and I have talked a lot about what I see coming, I call a microsite church movement of house churches coming out of that. So let's dig into that a little bit in this conversation. You're really pioneering this movement from my perspective in the U.S. And what so you had a meeting yesterday. Talk a little bit about that meeting, but talk about how you are taking off online to offline.
Yeah, so it's definitely, you know, so Saddleback Church, where I'm on staff, we're definitely a small group driven church. So it's very much natural. It kind of flows out of everything we do. So we're not a church with groups. We're a church of groups, and so it's integrated into everything we do. If you're interested in learning more about that, my boss wrote Small Groups on Purpose, Steve Gladden. It's an amazing book where he dives into the weeds of that. But so the idea is, and this is where Saddleback has struggled in the past, where we're trying to figure out how to leverage our online ministry in such a way for it to be healthy. And so Rick never wanted to be a televangelist. He wanted to be somebody who, that's not a bad thing. He just didn't want to. And so with the internet, you know, you kind of had this TV ministry now online. And so is it just replicating the same things? What are some unique things we can do? And ultimately at the end of the day, it was, you can actually have some relationships online. There's some way to have connection, and it's more than just a TV broadcast, which is really just one way. And maybe they call in online. You can do a lot more. It's scalable. And at the end of the day, it's just cheaper to get on. And so to get on and have accessibility. And so where we hit our sweet spot was we started to allow people to open up their homes no matter where they were at. We gave them digital access to a library of video studies and PDFs, much like Netflix or Hulu, studies that we had access to. And we said, host a group in your home and use your home as a house church. And so the idea is that we would provide training on how to grow. And so instead of focusing on a large gathering, a service, we started with small gatherings. The main reason is small gatherings, we found out, were easy to maintain, both with time and money. You didn't have to pay for a venue, and there wasn't a lot of risk financially. It was just start with a group. And the idea is that multiply your group, subgroup. And if we could get to a sweet spot where there was enough people gathering, you know, maybe we can experiment with a real microsite where we rent something and we do that. And so we've been kind of messing around with this the last couple of years, some failures, some big failures, a lot of learnings. We did start with the large gatherings where we wanted to, hey, sign up to host a service. And we found out that wasn't really scalable. We had to change. We completely went a U-turn, had some tough conversations. And last night was in all honesty, one of our big wins, was one of our biggest wins. But it was a fruit of 3 years of labor, of a lot of conversations and a lot of stuff. And so something that we started to do, was these meetups. And we've talked about this past on the podcast. I've done meetups in San Antonio and, Dallas, in Austin, in San Francisco. The idea was, our strategy online, the way we position the online campus, is that we want to move people from the weekend into the core. We go from come and see, yeah, come and die, the weekend classes, small groups, and then in small groups, you're balancing the five purposes, Great Commission, Great Commandment. And the way we do that online is we move people online to offline by hosting a group in their home. So the idea, yeah, is no matter, I'm talking to people online to offline by hosting a group in their home. I know if I can get them into a home with other people, that's a small group, and I can manage that care and scale that care. That's easy. And so we have an in-between, which is an online group. And so we use online groups as transitional. People might stay there for a long time. That's okay. I just provide crawl, walk, run to get them to, yeah, eventually get into physical community. And so they might get off into a local church. That's okay. Or they might, you know, whatever, you know, if they're in San Antonio, I'm going to talk to them about CBC and say, that's great. Or if they're in South Carolina, I'm going to talk to them about New Spring. If they're somewhere near Life Church, wherever it is. And so we have tons of this. And so,
let me just clarify.
Yeah.
You're encouraging people to gather, not around the worship experience. They're engaging in the worship experience online. You're encouraging them to gather around a Bible study.
Yes.
Go to worship online. Feel free to do that. But now let's connect a community around Bible study.
Yeah.
Small group.
I would much rather have them come around a discussion where it's not a master teacher model. It's a facilitator. And that's really important because we want everybody to be involved in the transformation process. The other way is that we don't need to get in the weeds of training the master teacher. We just need to find a host. Somebody who were just saying, hey, you're facilitating, you're hosting a conversation, you're part of the dialogue. And that way we can resource that host with video material who has the master teacher and then a PDF to ask questions. And the idea is that the barrier of entry is so low is we can scale that. And so that's why at the end of the day, I have 1,360 groups.
Yeah,
that's what I have. And we're about ready to enter this Miracle Mercy campaign here in a couple of weeks. And I'm probably going to add anywhere between 300 and 400 groups like in the next 12 weeks. And it'll be crazy.
So tell me, and this is a hard one to even think scale wise. Most church leaders can't even imagine having 1,300 people in a small group, much less 1,300 small group leaders. How do you manage that? How do you scale that from a leader perspective?
Well, at the front end, I will say is that we have grown quite a bit. I mean, we started with 200 when I first came in, and we've had to
adjust. Which is huge.
Yeah, which is huge in itself, and we've scaled. I mean, I have more groups than any of our regional campuses, and I'm pretty close to our main campus. And so, you know, we have, I think, 6,000 groups, and I have a large percentage of them. And so part of it is because of the reach of the online community. And so I will say, I'll just add this. We have some structure my main team on the online campus helps care for my group. So the idea is if you want to be on my leadership team, I say you have to be over anywhere between 5 to 25 groups. And the way that works is that I give them structure that they're contacting them once a month and checking in.
Wow. And these are volunteer leaders, or these staff leaders?
These are volunteer leaders. Wow. And the idea is that I want my core team to know my core values of online to offline. And so the way I do that is I want them over groups. And then the idea is that anytime I run into somebody that wants to lead, I say, hey, come on this team. And it also helps with our scale. And so we might have a large gathering every week online, but really at the end of the day is that if somebody asks a prayer request or they want to get involved, I say, hey, you got to get into a group. And so if I can get healthy groups that are scalable in enough groups, people can become known and they can ultimately come to know how to live for Jesus in that. And so I just have created this model. So I have 38 community leaders that help me with the care of my groups. And at the end of the day, that is my core group. My chat team is not my main team. My prayer team isn't my main team. My community leaders that help with my care of my groups is my core team. And I gather with them once a month. I do training with them. I interact. I mean, it's just like anybody who has a core team, that's my core team. And that, you know, they're the ones that help people get into groups. We're gearing up for this new phase of new groups. And so they're actually, the way I treat it is we have a lot of groups and we kind of use two familiar tags to help know where our groups are at. And so I use a tagging system where a green tag means they're responsive and they're meeting. A red tag means they're non-responsive and non-meeting. And so really at the end of the day, what I'm doing is that I'm communicating to my groups. My CLs are calling them. I'm calling. I have groups as well. And then we're trying to figure out, okay, we might have 1,360 groups, but maybe 200 of them are red tag right now, meaning I haven't heard from them in the last 3 months. So I'm trying to figure out, are they still meeting? And if they're not, I remove them and or I green tag them. And so we kind of have this model, which if you read Small Groups on Purpose by Steve Gladden, he talks through that model. And so, but at the end of the day, we've made it very simple. And then all my current groups, I have next level. And so the idea is that, okay, you're hosting a group. The next level is for you to take our membership class. So I know how many of my hosts haven't taken our membership. And then I also know from membership, the next step is to take our LT1, which is our leadership training. And in that class, I teach it online. I use Zoom webinars now.
Yeah.
Teach it every 5 to 6 weeks. Okay. And And in there, they learn what does it mean to be part of a healthy group or lead a healthy group. And then from LT1, they learn how. And so we have this kind of the first step, hey, just gather a couple people and host a group in your home. Here, get a resource. And then on the back end, I say, hey, become a member of our church. And then I say, hey, take this out. And I provide kind of slow turn up the heat to kind of get them to go to the next level. And so one thing we've started to experiment with, Niels, in the last really 8 months is maybe I can be better at connecting hosts in their area.
Yeah.
And so I have a lot of hosts. It's spread out. It's still not enough to kind of really connect people, but maybe I can connect them by meetups. And so what we did was in the Temecula area, which is about 40 minutes away from one of our campuses.
Yeah.
I had about 56 groups in that area. And I said, hey, what if we go into this area? And I rented a meeting room out of a Marriott Springfield Suites.
Okay. Okay.
And it was like $500. I rented this room and for 8 weeks, I said, hey, we're going to go here. Small groups show up an hour early. We're going to do some training at 6, and at 7 o'clock, bring all your friends. And so I will say I showed up at 5:30.
Yeah.
I was really nervous because no one was there. And I was like, crap, what have I done?
Yeah.
Have I wasted resources? And then at 6 o'clock, we had about 40 people who showed up, and I did some small group training, and I said, hey, this is what we're doing at 7.
Yeah.
And then I said, if you're interested in getting new people in your group, I'm going to ask you at the 7 to stand at the back of the room, and you're going to get people plugged in.
Yeah.
And at 7, we actually had our Corona team, which is our closest campus, 40 miles away, came, and we had this event, and we had 120 people
in
this room. And it was
awesome.
It was so much fun. Now, at the end of the day, we don't really have this robust strategy when we know, what does that mean? Are we going to launch a campus?
Yeah.
No, we don't have that plan right now. But I will say that this is us putting feelers in the air. I did it mainly to meet people, shook 120 hands, heard about 50 different stories, went out afterwards, had dinner, talked to people. I mean, I literally was up till 2 o'clock. I could not sleep. I was so pumped.
Yeah.
So I've
got to tell you, and it was so fun for me to see, and I was praying for you guys. I saw the picture, the empty room, and then I saw the full room. What caught my attention though in the picture is how much gray hair I saw in the room. Where in my mind, if you typically think about who's watching online or who's engaged, and probably the experiences you're creating connections, you're thinking, I'm not thinking gray hair is involved. Do you see that as you're traveling around doing some of these meetups? What are the demographics you're seeing?
Yeah, it's definitely a mixed demographic. And that for sure, there was a lot of people that would be older than 40 in that demographic, older than 45. And so I think one thing is, you know, we attract what our age demographic, our pastor is naturally.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Doesn't matter if it's online or locally. That's kind of our natural core. There was a bunch of young people there as well, but it definitely, I noticed it as well in our strategy. And every time I've done our meetups, every meetup I've had majority of the people in that age demographic, and it's part of just Rick and his popularity initially.
Sure.
There's also a lot of young people too, but it's interesting. That's our kind of our core. And so it was definitely an interesting read. Our normal, I think our normal, anytime we've done surveys or demographics, our normal demographic is that between 45 to 55 online. And so it's just like, it's that kind of the thing with Facebook. Facebook is now just the world. And it's just kind of the same idea online, is that we just have that core demographic showing up to our events, which is fun. Always fun for me. You know, I get a lot of cracks of like, are you like 12, you know? And, you know, I have to talk about how many kids I have and credibility.
Well, I give you a hard time, Jay, for looking like you're 14. And I give you a hard time for a lot of different things. I've got to compliment you on this. Like you're a ridiculously smart dude that has built an incredible system. I think one of the things I appreciate so much about what you've built is it has such little to do with technology and so much to do with relationships and leadership. And you're building leadership systems that's connecting people in a very real way. You're empowering people as a ministry leader. And I think if there's anything church leaders should learn, that man, we overthink technology.
Oh yeah.
Undervalue relationships, and we empower people. You know, for people to think that for you to have that many leaders that you're empowering to lead, oversee 25 groups, we'd say, well, we should just hire them. Well, people, I mean, as you're empowering them, they're responding to what God has called them to do and who God's called them to be. I love that. I love so much about Saddleback. I've been a big fan since I first read Purpose Driven Youth Ministry 17 years ago, or however long ago that was, that kind of transformed youth ministry. But I see kind of just those core values that you're speaking, that value of online to offline. I mean, I see you say that a lot. I hear you say that a lot. I see you post it on Facebook a lot. I love the value of we're a church of groups, you know, not a church that has groups.
Yeah.
That value is huge. Mm. So I love what you're doing. I love how you're leading it. I can't wait to see how that develops. I think that is I don't think that is the model. I think that is a model that you can learn from. You know, I will tell you the model we're looking to emulate is people gathering in homes and watching our worship services together and then having questions for them to discuss and have a meal together. Kind of going back to the early church days as we see it and people walking to church, you know, and gathering in these clusters in North America and then overseas, you know, who knows, but we don't feel like there's one model. And I think, and honestly, as I moved to New York, I felt like I'm going to know what it's like to go to online church and for my family, for that to be our church. We quickly realized as a family, that's not enough for us. We needed connected and physical community here.
Yeah.
And so we found a local church that we were able to go to on Sunday evenings. And my wife's involved in a small group there. And so it is, it's just an interesting dynamic of, and I want to communicate, there are churches that do it and they say, we're a fully online church and we're good with that. I'm good with that. I'm good that they're good with that. Gary Vaynerchuk just posted an article of, you know, basically saying, is social media ruining our children? And he's like, it's not ruining our children any more than Elvis's hip shaking was, you know, many years ago, or radio was ruining, or TV was ruining.
Yeah.
It changed those generations and them having that media interaction and engagement in the way they are now, but it didn't ruin them. You know, social media is not ruining a generation, and our being connected online can add so much value to people. And I think the way we utilize it, is so important. So anyways, I love what you're doing. I love how you're leading. I appreciate you being transparent, and getting to and sharing that story. You know, we celebrate with you that big win of 3 years of hustle. And I can't wait for more, you know, to see as you do those meetups more and more. I'm rambling now. I do want to share one other story with that though, is the meetup. I'd never really done too many meetups of like online to offline. But when I came here, I wanted to watch Texans football. I'm a big Houston Texans fan, and it was hard to find. And I found on meetup.com a group of people that got together and would watch Texans game.
Oh, that's awesome.
Together, and it created a common bond, you know, between, and gave me an excuse to go meet people face to face. And we'd get there, and almost all of us grew up in Houston. So it's like, where'd you go to high school? What'd you do? You know?
Yeah.
And it was just, it's so fun to randomly meet people on the internet face to face. And I met my wife before online dating, you know, world and all that. So I don't know, you know, a lot of that online to offline, but I think we have some great ministry opportunities doing that. I think we have some great opportunities as ministry leaders to drive people towards that and lead people in that way. And you're doing such a unique work. And so I love it. I love it.
Thanks. Well, and we will be sharing more of our learnings. You know, we're kind of disrupting a lot of systems and we're trying to learn through that process. So trust me, if you're interested in this, continue to engage on the Social Media Church podcast. We want to thank everybody who watched and listened last week. We had one of our biggest weeks ever talking about politics, which was really fun. Yep. And don't forget to download the Social Media Church Apple TV app. So go to the App Store and type in social media. Actually, if you type in social media, we're in the top there. So you'll see it there. So to everything else, go to socialmedia.church and learn more and use the hashtag SMC podcast. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church podcast. To learn more about the hosts, the show, or suggest a future topic, check out socialmedia.church. If you liked what you heard, then take a couple minutes to leave a review on iTunes. Every review helps. Lastly, share the podcast with a friend and use the hashtag SMC Podcast to engage with the hosts. Thanks again for listening.